From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, April 17th, and here are today's headlines. It was a rough season for ski resorts in Vermont, and then it wasn't. Last week's total solar eclipse brought a huge windfall to resorts in the northern half of the state, while snowstorms in March and April lifted every resort. Steve Wright is president and CEO of J-Peak.
We were probably 15 or 20% behind our budget headed into fiscal March, and we've made up all of that ground as a result of both all the natural snow we've received, which is over 100 inches in the last 6 weeks, and also the eclipse.
While not the case every year, early spring snowstorms aren't rare either. Some resorts, like Killington, report their highest snowfalls in March. This year, roughly 17,000 people wagered on when the ice would go out on Joe's Pond in West Danville. The competition has run for more than 30 years, and this past Sunday, just after 4 a.m., the ice broke. That's of great interest to Mark Mitchell, a limnologist with the Lake Champlain Sea Grant Program. They help citizen scientists collect data about ice out and water quality from the hundreds of lakes and ponds across Vermont.
We don't have eyes all around the state to be able to see exactly when these lake ice outs are occurring. So we rely heavily on volunteers and citizen scientists to report those observations.
Mitchell says several Vermont lakes and ponds saw their earliest ice out dates on record this winter, with some losing ice in March. He says this could mean more toxic algae blooms this summer. According to the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, this was Vermont's warmest winter on record. Human-caused climate change is making Vermont winters warm faster on average than the rest of the year. State officials have picked Vergennes as the site of a new secure juvenile treatment center. That's according to 7 Days, which spoke to people familiar with the process. The state has not made the official announcement yet. State officials also considered placing the 14-bed facility in a South Burlington business park. The new facility will replace Woodside Juvenile Rehabilitation Center, which shut down in 2020 after dwindling use and reports that staff abused the facility's youth. A half dozen teachers and counselors at Randolph Union High School in Orange County are taking part in a mentorship pilot program, and the goal is to support students as they transition to college. Kara Merrill got the program off the ground. She's a counselor and the high school's student services director. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Merrill said helping kids graduate from high school was her first goal. But after graduation, many students still needed support.
They are first-generation students, so their parents hadn't gone to college. Some of them were circling back to those adults at Randolph who'd meant something to them or had that close working relationship with them, and asking for help.
The pilot program uses grant funding to pay teachers a small stipend so they can regularly check in with their mentees throughout their first year of college. Merrill hopes the program can be replicated at other schools across Vermont. And helping with the transition to buying a house, the Champlain Housing Trust is expanding its home ownership down payment program, which helps BIPOC Vermonters become homeowners. The program provides a $25,000 loan to people of color buying a permanently affordable home through Champlain Housing Trust or its partner agencies, that according to WCAX. The program's expansion was made possible in part through a $1 million donation from philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. Coming up, unexpected and difficult to explain good news regarding feathered creatures in the North Woods of Maine. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
And now for some good news about birds. Amid the bleak reports about a precipitous loss in numbers and types of birds around North America and the rest of the world, is a glimmer of hope in Maine's North Woods. As Susan Sharon of Maine Public Radio reports, a new study has found something unexpected, and scientists aren't yet sure how to explain it.
More than 3 decades ago, a team of researchers undertook a project near Moosehead Lake to document how songbirds were being affected by commercial forest practices, including clear-cutting. They found that birds and logging can coexist as long as there are different ages and types of trees present across a large landscape. That was encouraging. But then in 2019, concern about birds reached a fever pitch.
The new study finds North America has lost nearly 3 billion birds since 1970, including sparrows, blackbirds, and finches.
The study published in the journal Science set off alarm bells about the state of birds in the U.S. and Canada.
In all, researchers have seen a 29% decline over the past 50 years.
If you're accustomed to waking up to the sound of them chirping or watching them flock to the feeder outside, you might not realize it, but birds are in trouble.
This is being caused entirely by humans. The habitat loss, which is the primary driver here, other issues like free-roaming cats, buildings, collisions with buildings, pesticides.
And, of course, climate change. The startling findings prompted the researchers to head back to the Northwoods of Maine. At 10 million acres, the largest contiguous tract of undeveloped forest east of the Mississippi River, they wanted to replicate their original study to see how birds in this region were faring. So in 2021, crews began monitoring 300 sites in different forest habitats across nearly 600,000 acres.
Watch this rock here.
The work continued the following year when I accompanied a team to several survey sites on the west shore of Moosehead Lake. It was raining, it was just after sunrise, and the dense woods were dripping wet. Once in place, Jonah Levy and Jalen Winstanley carefully listened for distinct bird calls. For 10 minutes, they recorded and then compared notes on species they identified inside and outside a 50-meter radius.
Black-throated blue in.
Yep.
Hermit thrush in.
Yep.
Oven bird out. Veery in.
Yeah.
That was nice, too.
That was nice.
The data they gathered over 3 years were then used to compare to the previous study and to bird populations in the rest of the country. And now the results are in.
So, you know, scientists were supposed to come on the radio and say, we can explain this. We don't understand this. And sometimes science just does that to you.
Ornithologist John Hagen of Our Climate Common is the project's director, who says he and others thought they'd find widespread declines of bird species. But that's not what they found.
Lo and behold, it's mostly good news. You know, two-thirds of the species that we encountered were increasing over the last 30 years. And some were decreasing, too, but we didn't expect to see any increases.
33 out of 47 species showed an increased abundance over 30 years. That's in sharp contrast to findings in the Breeding Bird Survey during the same time frame. Those showed 35 of the same species analyzed declined regionally and across the continent. Hagen says it's not clear why there's an increased abundance in Maine's Northwoods, but he and other researchers have some theories.
One is it's a big blank space on the map, undeveloped. And our hypothesis is it's functioning like a bird sanctuary. It's producing birds. Those birds tend to come back to where they were born. I just think it's bizarre and unexpected and really good news, given all the dire news we always get about biodiversity.
Despite the widespread increases, 14 bird species show a decline in abundance in the study area, and Hagen says that merits closer examination. There may be forest practices that could help aid their recovery. The study could also have implications for bees and other insects, as well as for overall forest management. Hagen says the search for answers will continue, but for now, he's taking some time to celebrate. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Susan Sharon.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Corey Doxer, Abigail Giles, Adia Golston, Michaela Lefrak, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.